Steve Behrman is an internationally known author, humorist, and workshop leader. For the past 33 years, he's written and performed as Swami Beyondananda, the cosmic comic. His comedy has been called irreverently uplifting and has been described as comedy disguised as wisdom and wisdom disguised as comedy. Noted author Marianne Williamson has called Swami Beyondananda the Mark Twain of our times. His latest book, written with cellular biologist Bruce Lipton, PhD, is called Spontaneous Evolution, and he can be heard weekly on OM Times Network Wikipolitiki. And I'm going to put a couple of links in our chat so that you can catch him if you're so inclined. So without further ado, or delay, excuse me, please help me welcome Steve Behrman.
Thank you so much. Wow. You know, you've really prepared quite an amazing comedy feast yourselves. I really appreciate this. You know, this is my kind of, I do so many Sunday morning talks, actually, that I've been asked if I'm an ordained minister. Well, it turns out I was a minister in a past life, so I'm preordained. Now, this is my kind of spiritual community, strictly non-denominational. And, you know, part of this, what we are so needing in these times is the kind of what we call self-facing humor, being able to laugh at ourselves. I loved the entire light bulb routine about churches. You know, my wife Trudy and I were actually married in Ann Arbor at a Unitarian Universalist church because that was the only church that would allow us to do our own ceremony. And I remember the minister saying, I'll say anything you want, but don't make me say the word God, right? So we had a wonderful service there. And I love the idea of gently doubting. Now, this is what we're experiencing in these times is tremendous polarization, anger. I call it contemporary insanity. So I think that just looking at the kind of feelings I get from your group, you've created a sane asylum where you're letting people open their hearts, where people are free to be heard with whatever they believe or don't believe. And you know what people believe is unbelievable. So it's wonderful that you've given people that kind of a space to be. In these times, we have in this country a deeply divided body politic. Half the people believe the system is broken. The other half believe that it's fixed. So I think there is a great unity underneath all of the disunity where we are longing to come together in the heart, even as our beliefs seem to separate us at the head. Victor Borge, the great entertainer, said that laughter is the shortest distance between two people. And that's why in these times of division and strife and challenge and suffering and grief, it's very important that we use humor to face some of these issues. It gives us a great deal more resilience and resource. The cosmic comic paradox is in our face. The world is in serious condition, and yet there's definitely something funny going on. So that's why I call this talk Defying Gravity, Using Levity to Uplift Us in Unfunny Times. Gravity is a downer. Levity lifts us up to see from a higher perspective. We like to see life from, I tell people my Swami character is a fundamentalist with the accent on fun, not to be confused with fundamentalism, accent on the mental. As a fundamentalist, the Swami says, life is a joke, but God is laughing with us, not at us. The Creator is watching the comedy channel. We're what's on. And we have a choice whether or not to laugh, right? If you want to be miserable, go right ahead, whatever makes you happy. But we say that behind all of the stress and distress and sadness in life, there is a deep well of joy. And when we let laughter bubble up out of this deep well, we experience deep wellness. Now, we've all heard about the healing power of laughter. Maybe you've heard about Norman Cousins. He was a writer back in the 1970s. He was diagnosed with a life-threatening illness. And instead of going to the hospital, he checked into a hotel room with Marx Brothers movies and candid camera reruns, and he got well. And when he cured himself, the medical establishment decided that they're going to study the healing power of laughter, which is kind of like, well, it works in practice, but does it work in theory? And when they actually studied the physiology of laughter, they discovered that when we laugh, it creates these hormones called endorphins, our natural painkillers. Laughing actually improves our immune function. Laughter lowers the blood pressure, because when we laugh, it causes our blood vessels to dilate, better than having them die early. Now, the deeper meaning of healing is it restores wholeness. And that means that laughter, comedy, the perspective of humor, is something that can break the trance of separation. You know, that is one of Swami's precepts. He calls it the great upwising, where we wake up, wise up, grow up, and show up. We wake up to the illusion of separation. We wise up to the unifying power of love. We grow up to be the ones we were meant to be. And we show up on a new playing field, ready to play a new game. Thrival for each and all. And this is the most important thing I've seen in recent years in these times of stress. The way that we create this equanimity in ourselves and share it with others is we get off the battlefield and onto the playing field. And this is how the higher power of humor can be represented. You know, given the situation that we're in now, it harkens back, unfortunately, to the Cuban Missile Crisis 60 years ago, almost. The closest we've come so far to blowing ourselves up. And there's a true story told by the American economist. Told this story. I heard him talk about it. And he said that during the time of the missile crisis, there were American and Soviet delegates who were meeting to discuss possible trade between the two countries. And when news of the missile crisis hit, everything stopped. Tremendous tension in the room. Finally, one of the Soviet delegates very timidly raised his hand and he said, I suggest we each go around and tell a joke. And he volunteered to start. His joke was, what's the difference between capitalism and communism? In capitalism, man exploits man. In communism, it's the other way around. And with that, the entire group exploded with laughter. It released all of that tension, because there was a fundamental truth underneath that. And that is that beyond any ism, we're all united at the heart. This is the power of humor, because when we laugh, what happens is there's often an aha in the wake of the ha-ha. And then there's an ah, hearty laughter, ah, as we leave the dueling dualities of the head for the unity of the heart. So laughter takes us out of our head and puts us in our heart. Even in the most dire circumstances, and maybe particularly in those circumstances, when we voluntarily choose to laugh and find the humor, the bright side of life as opposed to the blight side of life, we have freedom that we wouldn't have otherwise. You've probably read the book, Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning. And he talks about being in a Nazi death camp during World War II. And he and a fellow inmate made a pact that every day, no matter what was happening, they would find something to laugh about. Because if you're able to keep the sense of humor in that horrific setting, it actually gives you a spiritual shield that can't be violated by anything physical. Give you an idea of the power that humor had in that situation. One of the jokes that actually circulated among the inmates of the camps involved these two Jewish guys who decide that they are going to assassinate Hitler. And they know he's going to be at this one intersection at 11 in the morning. They're waiting for him for his motorcade. Motorcade doesn't show up. 11:15, 11:30, When he's not there by 11:45, one of the assassins turns to the other and goes, gee, I hope nothing's happened to him. That is the power of love thy neighbor. That is the deepest power, love thy enemy. Because when you're able to love your enemy, who has no love for you, what you recognize is that you are the one bringing that love. And again, part of the power of humor is that we can bring it in a situation of fear and allow that fear to dissolve in the power of humor. It breaks the trance of duality. You ever wonder why jokes come in threes? A minister, a priest, and a rabbi, right? Okay, minister, priest, and a rabbi. They're discussing their legacy. How do they want to be remembered? And the minister, what do they want the eulogist to be saying at their funeral? And they think for a while. Minister said, I want them to be saying he was a family man and a pillar of his community. The priest said, I want them to be saying he was a holy man and a leader of his flock. The rabbi says, I want them to be saying, look, I think he's breathing. Again, taking us out of the this or that and giving us another way of seeing it. Now, this actually can heal in reality. I was once doing a talk in front of a health conference, and I was talking about one of the great diseases of our body politic, iron deficiency. Seeing a doctor won't help, but seeing a paradox will, okay? So one of the paradoxical oxymorons I was talking about was about people who believe who are pro-life but believe in the death penalty. Somehow that was paradoxical. After the talk, a woman comes up to me and she's very angry because clearly she had the pro-life position and she thought that I was insulting her and making fun. So I started telling her a story, but she didn't know I'm telling her a joke. I said, you know, I was watching TV. Three religious leaders, a minister, a priest, and a rabbi, were discussing when life begins. And they asked the priest, when does life begin? And the priest said, life begins at conception. And she says, yes, that's what I believe. And doesn't know, I'm telling her a story. Then they asked the minister, when does life begin? He said, life begins when the baby takes the first breath. And she's shaking her head no. Finally, they said, Rabbi, when does life begin? Rabbi said, life begins when the children leave home and the dog dies. And this woman, she burst into laughter and she hugged me. So that was an opportunity for healing to take place where beyond belief, there was the love in our heart that we shared. So this is really the power of humor is that it lights us up. Because it's very much like listening to a joke is very much like solving a problem. The brain scientist, Scott Weems, wrote a book called Ha, Why We Laugh and When. He tried to explain in scientific terms what creates laughter. And he says that we are surprised and delighted when the mind is stopped. And we love paradox because the mind loves to be playfully tricked. So this is another supposedly true story that I read many years ago. The nuclear scientist Niels Bohr, B-O-H-R, not B-O-R-E, Niels Bohr was being interviewed by a reporter, and she came to his laboratory, and she noticed that he had a horseshoe above the door. And she says, Professor Bohr, you're a great scientist. Do you really believe that a horseshoe is going to bring you good luck? He says, of course not. I don't believe that. And she says, well, then, why is the horseshoe up there? He says, oh, it's up there because it works, whether you believe in it or not. Okay? So this is really very powerful. The joke is kind of like a trance state, and the explosion of laughter liberates us from this paradox in our minds. It helps us get off the battlefield of separation and puts us on the playing field of loving connection. You know, it seems that the older I get, and I seem to be getting older, it happens every year, the older I get, the more I recognize that the best thing we can do in life is to get off that battlefield of this versus that and get onto the playing field of seeing the bigger picture. every now and then my wife, Trudy, and I will get into a disagreement and we'll be, you know, in the midst of it. And one of us will say, let's get off the battlefield. And the other will say, but I wasn't done being right yet. So this is part of the recognition of laughter, is that it allows us to gently laugh at ourselves. We call this self-facing laughter, and where we lovingly laugh in our own face. If we laugh in our own face lovingly, then we're able to laugh in the face of all of our difficulties. Instead of giving them a piece of your mind, why not give them the peace of your heart? Much better. Now, I call this joke jitsu, because you can turn aggressive into playfulness. Now, I spent my deformative years in New York in a housing project in Brooklyn, and I found humor was a very, very powerful tool. When the older kids would ask me for money in the projects, I'd look at them and I'd say, hey, look, I live here. If I had any money, would I be living here? And they would laugh and leave me alone. So I was doing stand-up at the age of 8 for money, my money, but that's how it was. My religion as a child was baseball. And one of my favorite baseball characters in New York was Casey Stengel, who's manager of the Yankees and the Mets during those years. And a true story about Casey Stengel, when he was a rookie, the fans in New York took a dislike to him. And every time he would show his face on the playing field, they would boo him. And this went on for a while. And one day he steps up to the plate, fans boo him. He tipped his cap. A little sparrow flew out from under his cap. And everybody in the ballpark stood up and applauded him. They never booed him again. Think about that. A playful, heart-opening gesture changing the energy of 20,000 New Yorkers. So, of course, the moral of the story is, if you're going to flip somebody the bird, make it a real bird. Make it a real bird. So this is something that we can all do in our lives when we make this change of allowing ourselves to laugh at ourselves. These embarrassing moments that we've had, if we look at them in retrospect and we're able to laugh, it kind of softens the power that the ego has over us. Am I okay? Am I okay? Am I okay? Am I okay? We're all okay. We're all okay. And if we allow ourselves to open our hearts to that, it makes a huge difference in life. So this is why I encourage people to practice this cosmic comic consciousness that uses laughter as a way to shine a light on the shadow. And in the darkness, perhaps, that we're facing in our lives, you know, there's two kinds of situations. There's life-threatening and there's laugh-threatening. So we're not saying laugh at a life-threatening situation. There's time for grief. There's time for everything. But at some point, there comes a time when we recognize that we can actually change our mood for the better, and we can actually share that with people outside in the world. I remember, and my wife Trudy, being around me, she has been able to cultivate humor. Anybody can use this, what we call commit random acts of comedy in dire times. Right after the 9/11 attacks, she and I were on our way to a conference that probably should have been canceled. We were in the airport in Denver, and everything was really tense. There were troops. There were people just like in shock and horror. Nobody was saying anything. Everything was like frozen and really, really stressful. And there was a guy waiting for the plane, and he had a dog and a little doggy carrying case. And he opened the case so the dog could breathe. And the dog pokes his head out of the case like this. And Trudy walks up to the dog and she says, did you pack your own things today? Did a stranger give you anything? And the dog is going, and everybody in earshot laughed. And they needed that laughter because it was a joke, not at the situation, but at just at something happening in time that we all could look at and laugh at regardless. A very powerful moment. Laughter brings out our playful and childlike qualities, and it reminds us of joy. You know, there's a famous story about the monk whose work it was to translate the ancient scrolls. And he's down there in the catacombs working, and the other monks hear a scream, and they come running down, and the monk is shaking, and he's saying, "It says celebrate, not celibate." Okay, a typo. So one of the things that we can do to celebrate is celebrate our differences. I really love the light bulb joke and the self-facing laughter. There's a similar story about heaven and hell as it applies to the countries in Europe. In heaven, the police are English. The mechanics are German. The cooks are French. The lovers are Italian. And it's all run by the Swiss. In hell, the police are German. The cooks are English. The mechanics are French. The lovers are Swiss. And it's all run by the Italians. You see? So it's very important that we celebrate our differences and commit random acts of comedy. You know, you never know what's going to happen if you bring a small joke into a situation. We were out on a hike with some friends a few weeks ago, and my friend loves humor. He loves these old corny jokes and so on, and I watched him do magic. We're on the path, and we stop, and there's a woman who has a dog, and he says, a guy goes to a psychiatrist. Psychiatrist says, "What's your problem?" He says, "I think I'm a dog." Psychiatrist said, "Well, again, get off my couch." That little silly joke made this woman burst out laughing, and we watched her face light up. It changed her energy, something silly, something small. So with humor and doing random acts of comedy, first, as in any kind of healing, do no harm. And then if you allow yourself, if you ask the universe to bring comedy to you, it will happen. We were visiting my cousins a couple of years ago, staying with them, and we went out to dinner with my brother and sister-in-law. We come back from dinner, my cousin said, what did you have for dinner? And my wife, Trudy, said, "We had duck." He said, "Well, how did they prepare the duck?" And Trudy and I look at each other, and almost in unison, we say, "You know, you can't really prepare a duck for something like that." So when you're in that farce field, as we call it, humor will show up magically again. Trudy and I are at a favorite Chinese restaurant some years ago. She bites down, and there is a piece of steel wool in the stir fry. So we called the waiter over, and they were very, very embarrassed, and they gave us our meal for free. So now we always carry steel wool just in case. But it was kind of a tense meal because they were very proud of their food, and this was kind of like a big downer. And at the end of the meal, they bring us our fortune cookies, and I call the waiter over, and he's going, "Oh my God, now what?" I said, "Excuse me, there's a piece of paper in my cookie." That was a way to release the tension. And finally, sometimes when we're least expecting it, the universe will provide us with a joke or play a joke on us. I was doing a program for a healthcare HMO, which I'll remain nameless. It was for a program they called the Physician Wellness Program. And wow, these were some stressed out physicians. And I'm looking at them, and I'm looking about at this particular place, about two thirds of these doctors were from third world countries. And so I am doing the Swami, and it's working okay, but the universe decided to do an intervention. And all of a sudden, in the middle of my talk, from the PA, we hear, "Your attention, please. Your attention, please. Will the owner of a white Explorer, license number BK3450, please move your vehicle? You're blocking traffic." The Swami looks up at the PA, looks at all of these third world people, and he says, "You know, I've always believed that most of the problems in this world have been caused by white explorers." Where did this joke come from? It came from the farce field. It was a healing joke that helped people in that situation. And so my wish for your community, and I know that you're already there because you already created a field of playfulness and laughter, is to keep that going. When you see people in real life next week or the week after when they show up, enjoy watching people laugh. Enjoy the full facial expressions of loving laughter. Watch that and feel that and feel what that feeling is in your heart. So I want to thank you so much for inviting me to be with you today. Thank you, and may the farce be with you.